Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
All right, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do the show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10, and the show features live and unscripted conversations with people making a difference. But we'll be right back to get the show started after this.
Thank you. unicorns can live underground. They're swinging out of a wrecking ball through these laughing plaster walls. Just letting all the shadows free. The ones I wish to follow me. Follow me, follow me. Follow me, follow me. Beneath the street lamp light, outside our barn in the record store, better than condos for a year and more. Now that our haunts have taken flight and been replaced with construction sites, oh how I feel like a stranger here, searching for something that's disappeared. Digging for gold in my neighborhood, for what they say is the greater good. But all I see is a long goodbye, a requiem for a skyline. It seems I never stop losing you, as every die becomes something new. And all our ghosts get swept away. It didn't used to be this way. Be this way, be this way. Be this way, be this way. Sense of permanence. I've placed faith in geography to hold you in my memory. I'm sifting through these wreckage piles, through the rubble of bricks and wire, looking for something I'll never find, looking for something I'll never find. Digging for gold in my neighborhood, where all the old buildings stood. And they keep digging it down and down, so that the cars can live underground. It seems I never stop losing you, as every die becomes something new. And all our ghosts get swept away. It didn't used to be this way. 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 It didn't used to be this way.
All right, this is KX93.5 on a foggy-ish Sunday morning. That you're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman, and today I am happy to have in studio Izzy Paskowitz of Surfers Healing. Hi there.
Good morning. Good morning, Ernest. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You have a great radio voice, if anyone's ever told you that.
You know, I think my voice sounds horrible. I don't like listening to myself on the radio or watching some of the things that come about on TV and stuff like that.
Okay. But, all right.
Try to stay humble, right?
Yeah. Well, listening to your voice will make you humble for sure. I mean, everybody doesn't. Nobody really likes the way their voice sounds when they hear it played back, because you have this picture in your head of what it's supposed, what you think you sound like. But anyway, enough dawdling around. You're from Surfers Healing, mm-hmm. And what do you guys do?
Yeah, we provide a free surf camp for children with autism, and it comes about. I have a 27-year-old son, Isaiah, with autism.
Okay.
And it's been an incredible journey.
Okay.
An incredible, I don't know where to begin, you know, from having him as a little baby, you know, being a pro surfer, having everything in the world.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you, and then we'll talk about how that kind of came together. So you were a pro surfer.
Yep. Yep, a pro longboarder, and did kind of everything I wanted to in that field. You know, traveled all around the world, the most amazing, unique places. Got to surf waves that I still dream about when I put my head down on my pillow, like wow. You know, Tavarua, you know, riding.
Oh, so monster waves.
Yes, monster, you know, most challenging waves in the world. And still being able to do it in the fact that I got married really young.
Okay.
Like, really young. My wife was 19. I was 23.
High we got school married, sweetheart or something?
I grew up and... the other side of me, I grew up in a camper and traveled around the world
wow.
with my 11 in the camper that slept six. And that was a journey that didn't allow me to go to school. So there's no high school.
Oh, okay.
There's no
right.
middle school. There's no elementary school.
Really?
Well, I guess elementary school is where
sure,
I kicked out.
Sure, but.
And then that's it.
That's it.
That's it. Then I live, you know, we lived in the camper and traveled. And so. Meeting Danielle was kind of a fluke because we really did live in a camper. I didn't know nowadays living in vans and,
right.
You know, being a bohemian is you know, hipster and cool. And you got your board in the car. We're going to go hang out at the beach all day, maybe a weekend. Who knows? Maybe a week.
Right, right.
Hell, yeah, yeah. Hell, we did 25 years in a row. So I met my wife just very casually at a party.
Okay.
And just was dumbfounded by her beauty first.
Right.
And
she might be listening. Yeah.
Yeah, we got married and had, you know, the typical family. And then I started, you know, the whole professional surf part of it. Had a beautiful little daughter
okay.
that I was so incredibly blessed to have. And then my second child was born, Isaiah.
Okay.
And after about a year or close to it, we start seeing developmental issues with him in okay. speaking and not being able to hear, or what we thought was not being able to hear.
Right. But not responding.
Correct.
In the same, in I guess.
Well, in a typical way.
Right, right.
So there was some cognitive difficulties. And then he got a diagnosis of autism. And that really... you know, it was heartbreaking. You know, there's a hurt with that I set myself have to deal with, and all fathers of children with autism and any special child have to deal with it, and that is devastating. And you know, sometimes you don't get over it. Sometimes it breaks families apart.
Sure, it can be very challenging, right?
Challenging,
depending
to say
on
the least.
Where they are on the spectrum.
Sure, and Isaiah was kind of, you know, low on the spectrum. He still doesn't really communicate very well.
Okay.
He does a little bit, you know, so I'm blessed with that. But my wife knew right away there was something wrong with him,
okay,
and was able to, you know, to interject therapies and
right.
get something started.
Start to take some kind of action to try to solve. Help him through this process or solve the problem.
But in the midst of all that, I'm like, I'm a pro surfer. I got to go. So that's how I made a living.
Wow.
So okay. I had to leave her and say, hey, I've got to go to Fiji. I got to go to France, contests in Hawaii. And that was difficult. That put a huge strain on our marriage
okay.
and especially on her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine it's hard enough with two of you where you can kind of trade off, but when it's you and then you have another kid, just, you know, that must be a lot to take on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this, the fact of not being able to, you know, to really step up and be that great dad, but I don't think a lot of dads are. I don't think a lot of dads can just say, hey, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be the best at this. I'm going to do therapies. I'm going to be there. I think a lot of them do what I did. It was run away.
Oh, okay.
And I was able to run away real easily because I was a professional surfer.
Right, like Fiji, yeah.
Bye, you know.
Right.
Good call from the road. How's it going over there? Here, Isaiah screaming. Oh, man. Although it kills me, you know. I'm going to France now. So that was very difficult until I finally got to a point where, you know, I had to choose.
Okay.
Had to choose whether I'm going to have a family or be a professional surfer. And you know, thank goodness I'd won some of the best contests I'd ever want to.
Okay, so you didn't have any, like, bucket list of things, contests or surf achievements that you needed to that were still out there.
I think I already won them. The Coke Classic, which is a world championship, not an official one, but it was good enough for me and
right.
And some of the bigger contests around the world and in California and the Bud Tour was doing contests at the time. Mm-hmm. So I've got no regrets with that.
Right.
And I think even if I did think I wanted to win some kind of formal world championship or something like that, now it doesn't matter. My silver cup is a planter for plants. I don't give a crud about that.
Wow.
It just changes your whole dynamic.
Sure.
I see life through different, colored glasses. And that's what having a special needs child does to you. So you do change. And I'm not the person that I was when I was calling my wife in France and still can be able to selfishly kind of have a good time. Yet I knew something was very difficult. There was some darkness at home that I needed to go back to and confront.
Right.
And
and participate.
And acceptance. I needed to accept it.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to KX93.5, and this is the Importance of Being show. My guest this morning is Izzy Paskowitz, and he is a pro surfer, but he is also with Surfers Healing, a charity or a philanthropic effort devoted to helping other parents with children with autism. Okay, this is KX93.5. We'll be right back. Oh, and also, I guess Halloween is right around the corner, so I have at least one scary song for you.
Oh, picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Eat marshmallow pies. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers that grow so incredibly high. Newspaper taxis appear on the shore, waiting to take you. With plasticine pauses, with looking glass ties. Suddenly someone is there at the turnstile. The girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
Okay, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman, and this show features live, unscripted conversations with people making a difference, and we certainly have one of those people in the studio today. I have Izzy Paskowitz from Surfers Healing. So in the earlier, we were talking about you and your career as a professional surfer, and we talked a little bit about, you know, you starting a family and discovering that your son had some developmental issues or was autistic. Mm-hmm. And but also at the town, and it was kind of an escape from this reality.
Absolutely.
So, but at some point you realize, I've got to get involved. I need to be a part of my family. I guess you establish your values. What was that like?
You know, for me, it was one contest. I was in Hawaii, and it was kind of my pivotal moment, my moment that was my epiphany that that my burden wasn't the heaviest burden that I thought it was. But okay. No one understands me. I've got the heaviest thing in the world, and I talked to a couple of surfers, Chris and Dan, three of them, and Chris Malloy. And they shared with me, after watching Forrest Gump, you know, the waves are small and we're at the Turtle Bay Hilton, and we'll watch Forrest Gump. And I kind of had to run away and, like, cry, and, you know, bawling on the curb. And the boys came to me, and they're like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. And I explained to him what's going on. I said, I've got an autistic son. He's at home. And, you know, he's pretty profoundly out of control. And we're trying to deal with what's going on. So long story short, they tell me their story. Hmm. They had a story. They've got a sister, Mary, that had so many issues that were way worse than Isaiah. Oh. That were so much of a burden to the whole family. And so difficult for her, and you know, and also thinking of the part of, I mean, what does Isaiah feel? How hard is life for him? You know,
right.
Even harder for Mary. So I kind of snapped and was just like, that's it. You know, I've got to man up and go home, and I understand we all have issues. We all have mm-hmm. things that are very difficult, that are, you know, skeletons in the closet. But we all have to live. We all have to live for today and try to have the best lives that we can, and a productive, happy life. And part of a productive, wonderful life, as, you know, we're all driving in our cars and going to church, and we're together. And, you know, you've got your beautiful wife next to you, and you look in the back, and there's right. your kids. And, oh, my God, there's also my grandkids in the car. So family was so important to me, and I was able to do that. So I promised my wife we'd only would take Isaiah to every surf contest with us.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you're not abandoning surf, but mm-hmm. you're not abandoning your family
right.
or running away.
Right. Basically. And for a small few years, we would take Isaiah to the Hawaii events, which it wasn't difficult traveling with him. And, you know, Danielle would be on the beach with me, and my friends, I could introduce him. This okay. is Isaiah, and he has these issues. And at the time, you know, autism was probably 1 in 10,000, and okay. it's now 1 in 64 or close to it. But
okay.
it's
much more prevalent. Yeah,
absolutely epic proportions, and everyone has their ideas of what's really going on, but there's really no empirical evidence of what the cause is
right.
to autism.
Right.
We know it's a neurological disorder, and that's really about it. There's some things that we all think might be causing it. But for us, it was, or for me, it was my, okay, you know, I got a man up, and I love my family, and I want to be a part of it.
Right.
And let's take Isaiah surfing, and it really wasn't. It really wasn't, I should tell you. It wasn't like I consciously made him go in the water, but every day we would spend with him on the beach, and he was in the water. We got these little gifts from Isaiah, these small moments that he was happy, that he was a better person.
Oh, okay.
And so we'd go come back from the beach. It was just like we were better as a family.
Actually, reach him in the water.
Incredibly. Huh. So I took that a little further than him swimming all day. To putting him on my surfboard, and we rode waves, and that was a moment to me that was a real turning point, that all my friends around me, all my contemporaries, mm-hmm. you know, Matt Archibald and Shane Beshin, they had their kids were some of the best surfers, and now the best surfers in the world.
Okay.
You know, and I still had to wipe my son's butt.
Oh, right.
You know?
Yeah.
When I took Isaiah in the water.
And certainly not the pretty surf scene that you see in Surfer magazine
or
something.
No, we were in a whole different world, our own little hidden world. And a lot of that is, you know, isolation. And you feel so hopeless when you're isolated. So getting out there and being a part of your autism ohana, what we created, is important. But I will say, the moment I took Isaiah surfing was so huge to me, because he went out in the water, me and Kelly Slater's brother at the time, who was just starting to become the greatest surfer in the world, hanging out in San Clemente. His brother Skippy, I taught him to surf, and we took Isaiah surfing this one moment. And then in this one moment, Skippy pushes Isaiah on the board, mm-hmm. and Isaiah rides, and he stands up.
Oh,
and he stands up all wrong. He looked horrible. but he rode this wave in standing up, standing parallel like a skier. And you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
And when he rode that wave, it was just, I knew in that moment, it was everything to me. and not because he surfed.
Right.
Because I could see that through the fog and through the autism, he found a way through autism to make it count, okay. to make himself count.
Right.
And that was it. That was it.
And so what was he like when he finished that ride? Was he smiling? Or did it just go back away? Or how was it something that you noticed continually after that? Or
absolutely that day after he comes out of the water, he's happy. Your behavior's better.
Okay.
He is the fog is lifted for a moment,
mm-hmm.
and in those few moments is the way you live when you have a child with autism.
Okay.
And you know, and that's good enough.
You try to string together some, you know, good moments more frequently. And
absolutely. So, and in that moment, I knew that the water was something incredibly special. You know, it wasn't the surfing. The surfing was super rad and it was cool. And I could share that with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think water is the ultimate therapy.
Okay.
And fast forward now, 23 years later, it was something that I always knew that was important. I always knew that worked. I knew it was something in my gut and in my heart that was absolutely made for children with autism.
Okay.
And it has been used, you know, in medicine, you know, for a long, long time.
Right, right.
But I didn't know back then.
Right, yeah. You were talking earlier about being isolated and feeling, you know, like you're almost smashed in by the weight of your concerns. So you do this ride, you see some results. How did that then become a charity and something that you were going to present to others?
Right. And I guess without getting too long, because we could go on all day long.
You have time.
We could go on all day long.
If we have to go into Steve's show, it's all right. He won't mind.
Sorry, Steve. Steve said it's cool. through Isaiah's school. Through Isaiah's school and his classmates, their dads and their parents asked if I could take them out. And I would take out one and I would take out the other. And each child had that same reaction. And I got to preface that it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy because I had to almost force the child, you know, gently and
yeah.
with techniques that wouldn't pull like their arms out of the socket, like picking up a turkey from the wing.
Yeah, yeah.
But caressing them and you know, gently forcing them in the water,
mm-hmm.
And then on the surfboard, kicking, screaming, believe it or not.
Oh,
and
yeah.
people looking at me like, you are going to ruin this child.
Right, yeah.
Without knowing what autism was, without knowing what the situation was. But once we paddled out, and paddling out is a little difficult, squirming and having the right surfer to do it. And at that time, I was in peak shape, and I was young and strong, and I was invincible. So having that responsibility, and in those moments, I was not going to fail. I was going to make this, you know, a perfect session for these children. And we'd paddle out, and we'd turn, and when we'd paddle out, we'd just hang out for a little bit.
Right.
Would hang out. And then that kicking and the screaming and the crying and even words of like, if they did have language, I'm going to die. There's sharks out there. There's a mastodon's going to come at me. I'm, you know, just making right. up these craziest things. There's pirates out there.
Some
the pirates
of all
are going to get me and then I'm going to die.
Oh,
and
wow.
So if they had language, then you have to convince them, no, there's no pirates out there. Maybe SpongeBob in the water. But we sat for a few moments, and we had these incredible, you know, quiet moments with all those therapeutic things that you might artificially manufacture when you're putting a child through some autism therapies.
Okay.
So I think the water, the smell, and the touch. Hearing the
and
waves
I guess
break.
A gentle kind of movement.
The movement was so important. And the rolling of the waves, staying midline of that surfboard, that they kind of had to do by themselves without me saying a word. And then calm, and then calm, and then would turn around and would ride a wave, and then glee, and then screaming of screams
different
of
kind
joy.
Of screaming, yeah, peals of laughter.
It was amazing. The reaction, every one of them was the same. The most difficult one, it just might have taken a little longer to stay out longer, to let their senses cool off. They were running a little hotter. They need a little more cool-off time. And then you get to the beach, and it still carried on. It still carried on of pride, of knowing they did something cool, even, again, if they didn't have the verbal language to say, but my gosh, I'm so proud of myself.
They had that experience. Absolutely. It's outside of the fog, as you said.
And then it still carries further with the parents and siblings, you know, seeing their brother or sister doing something incredibly cool, you know, not therapeutic stuff that they go to every day,
but
something
real life stuff.
Healthy and something that is so primitive and native. And they feel proud of him. So the whole family is in, I guess, they're in the same moment that I was when I first took Isaiah out. That day at the beach made them and their families feel better, made the siblings feel a little more proud and a little less embarrassed.
Surfer's healing.
Oh, I'm so glad I came up with that now, because I thought it was kind of silly at the time.
Okay.
I didn't think it was a great name. Now I know it's the ethos of what we do.
Right. Yeah. And it's like almost like magic, right? Apparently.
You could call it magic. You know, with us, there's no empirical evidence, and I'm a dumb surfer, so most doctors say that there's no way that could work. You know, they need medicine, they need pills, and they need, you know, they need
prescriptions,
and that will calm them down. Not, you know, the water is a bunch of BS, which is, that's BS. There's some healing powers.
You're calling BS on
any
BS.
Water. You're calling BS on the BS. BS, you're BS.
Okay. So you start to do it, to share this gift with other families, you know, from his school and stuff. When did you say, you know, I've got something here and I need to make this, you know, available to other people, you know, and do this as a thing, not just, you know, like on the weekend and
right. I think it you know, a great part of me having Isaiah and who I am. Growing up in a camper as a weirdo, having a son who was different, not less, having my father, you know, teach me to surf at a very young age, and him being from such a heritage background, learning to surf in the mid-30s, and so the respect that he had amongst the surfing community and his friends, who were the pioneers of surfing with him in San Diego. He would take the Madsen line, which is a boat audience. That was the only thing you could get to go to Hawaii. And the people that he met, I have the people that he met, the Wally Forsythe, the Aikaus, the Kealanas, the Kalamas. I have their grandchildren, his buddies, his contemporaries, when he went to surf in Hawaii to be a doctor, graduating from Stanford out of World War II, those are my guys.
Okay.
So they're just bred with this heritage surf bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that island culture is to help, as well as my local guys too. I mean, I've got a couple of guys here and we're working on, not a couple of guys, we probably have 25 local longboarders, especially in this area. You got Dana Point and San Onofre and Newport Beach. Some incredible surfers who are now our full-time guys. So it created, Surfers Healing came from kind of that organic, yeah, we want to help out. You know, Iz has a son. We really don't know too much about autism, but we're here to help. You know, we're a large tribe of surfers and feel that this is important. So once I got them in the water with the kids and handpick the right guys.
Right.
Because, like I said, when I first took out those kids, it was very difficult. It's like taking, you know, a cat to a bath. So you have to know what you're doing. And then once you get out there, you have to know how to adjust. And what we're doing also, we're tandem riding, folks. Mm-hmm. We're riding these beautiful high-tech Hobie surfboards that are just as high-tech as Kelly Slater's surfboard.
Okay.
They're light, they're epoxy, so they really just rip. You know, I love that. I love the disposition of, like, there's no way that kid should be out there.
Right.
Let alone hitting the lip and cutting back. So.
Oh, wow. So the, yeah.
Yeah. So it was, that part was natural. You know, they'd see me surf some of these younger guys. Oh, there's Izzy from the 80s.
Okay.
You know, you know, I'm down to help out. You know, he seems pretty credible. His family seems credible. Mm-hmm. His father and so
yeah, he's one of us. He's,
guys like Blake and Bucky who are out there with every tour of mine who feel the same way. And I see the way they react with the kids. And we're also, you know, thinking about, like, this is over 22 years of running this charity and having you know, a lot of more people involved, not just our infrastructure and our executive team and running this medium-sized charity now, and,
yeah,
but having
business.
this huge operation that now we go to New Zealand, we go to Australia. We got in late last night from Mexico.
Okay. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to KX93.5. My guest this morning is Izzy Paskowitz of Surfers Healing, and he is telling the story of how Surfers Healing came to be. So this is KX93.5. We'll be right back after this.
Faded, fading, it's pain to play.
Alrighty, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I've had a wonderful time, or am having a wonderful time, with Izzy Paskowitz of Surfers Healing. And so when we started out, we talked a little bit about your career as a professional surfer. And then, you know, you started a family, had a son that was autistic, and discovered that taking them out on the board, getting them out on the water, really made an impact on them. So you then enlisted some of your surfer friends and started to make it a little bit bigger. How did, well, that certainly impacted the children while they were doing it, but did it carry over into their other parts of their life?
Absolutely.
The sense of accomplishment or the...
Yeah. I mean, that's I think, the biggest reason why it was such a success, because, you know, the amount of time we spend in the water really translates to, like, an anchor moment that's pictured in their minds.
Okay.
And that takeaway is carried on that day in the next month, and even, like, little things in the rooms start, you know, starting to be surfified, you know, posters. And so we hear a lot of that with the parents. It's just like that moment. Because our kids don't have our minds. And the closest thing I can come with a comparable is talking to Temple Grandin, who was the most incredible professor on autism, who was autistic and is a professor that teaches in Denver. But she says her whole memories are pictures, and she kind of can Rolodex them, and then she sees them, and then so I think that for our children, the day is really a huge imprint, and so it's taken away and it's relived, you know, over and over again.
Right.
And then the kids that have surfed with us before, we see when they come back, they start off right where they left off, and they're almost like completely in tune to what's going on. When I stand up, and then they stand up, they already know to put their hand back when we're just getting ready to drop into that swell, you know. So that part is amazing, absolutely amazing. But yeah, kind of getting back to when I was saying about my father and these, you know, young Hawaiians that are helping out, and my local guys. It started into a charity, I guess by necessity, by a few families that I got together and said, we got to turn this into a charity. And we were able to do that. We were able to get, you know, the nonprofit status, and had one concert to raise some money at the Coach House in Laguna Beach with your Laguna's king of Laguna, Nick Hernandez, from
Common
Sense.
Yeah,
I should say retired king. Sorry, Nick. He's the retired king. And so we had an amazing event, and Tommy Hilfiger styled us out, and I think Fishbone played with us as well, and we raised that seed money, and it got it off the ground.
Okay.
It got it off the ground. And with a few other, like, no-name artists, like Sarah McLachlan and the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, wow.
I don't think anyone's heard of them.
Right.
but it's, again, back to this organic family that, you know, taught Flea's daughter to surf, taught Sarah to surf, totally down to play for us. Mm-hmm. So with Surfers Healing and the therapy that we do,
right,
I should say that we don't charge a penny for it.
Oh.
It's free.
Okay.
It's free. And like most other charities, I'm sure Autism Speaks, when they hire the Chili Peppers, they're $1 million.
Yes.
But for us, they're free because they're friends of ours.
Right.
So everything
they believe
was just
in what
meant
you're trying to
be.
Do. Right.
So meant to be in such an amazing way that it was from the heart, and it was beyond grassroots. So it was the right reason, you know, the right people for the right reason. So we were able to develop chapters all up and down. Really heavy on the East Coast.
Okay.
We've got partners in Australia, partners in New Zealand, Malibu, San Diego. So now we're talking about 26 locations. The Aikaus run Honolulu. That's our next camp right after Thanksgiving. So it kind of exploded.
Wow. Okay.
Got our pro bono attorneys in New York. is the same way. I'm sitting by a lady that we started chatting, and first she was scared of me because remember, your listeners, Israel Paskowitz is a very nice Jewish boy, but I look like one of those guys on the Mayans on FX with long hair, with tattoos all over my body. But every tattoo has a very important meaning to me. My Maori tattoos, my Hawaiian tattoos,
right.
Isaiah, my wife Danielle, and my horse. Okay. So that's how it grew. It was organic, and I had each location had either a really motivated family member with an autistic child or an autism group, like the New Jersey Autism Family Services, and it exploded. We were fine tuned in the water. And I was able to train my guys to have a curriculum of what to do,
right.
Not just go out
right.
there and just
try it.
Yeah, and just kind of free for all. We have these amazing tandem boards that they're out there riding on, and we have a process of signing up online, which sells out every year, and a huge waiting list. So it just now we're an amazingly well-run nonprofit. But again, we don't charge a penny for it because I felt like when Danielle and I were young parents, we got really taken advantage of by some alternative therapies that I just assumed would heal my son.
Right, right. So we're out of time.
What?
We are totally out of time. And I would love, I know we could talk much longer, but if people want to get involved, if people want to help out, how do they find you?
You know, they can find us on surfacehealing.org and November 16th and 17th at the Laguna Beach Ritz-Carlton.
Okay.
The Laguna, Niguel Ritz-Carlton, GM there, Bruce Brainard, has allowed us to do 11 years there, a surf contest on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The 16th and the 17th is going to be our surfing Santa surfboards
okay.
that are in the lobby, so you can come check them out.
Okay.
There's an open house to the general public, and then you can bid on these boards online of amazing artists, local right. Laguna artists.
One last time
with the
website, because we are actually out of time.
That's surfershealing.org.
All right. Thank you so much, Izzy Paskowitz from Surfers Healing, for being on the show. Thanks for listening. Coming up next is Steve Reed of the Coast Highway Shuffle. Thanks for listening to The Importance of Being. I'll be back next week.
KXRN LP, Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX 93.5.